bear sin because of him. Thou shalt not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. This is too loud. Cut it down, please. Notice again, thou shalt not hate thy brother in thy heart. Thou shalt surely rebuke thy neighbor. And the last portion, you are not to bear a grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we give thee thanks for what subjects you bring to our attention and also the frequency with which thou dost bring them to our attention. We confess, our God, that so many things fill our minds that are not of thee, but we are glad that you give us things in thy word that can fill our minds, that are acceptable in thy sight. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Our Father, our desire is that these things might be thought upon. And those things that are forbidden, the hatred, the secret bearing of grudges in our hearts against our brethren and against our neighbors, shall be put away from us with all malice. Thou hast told us, I am the Lord, and that is sufficient reason. So teach us what thou dost mean by these things from the scriptures that we've read and those that we intend to read. Indeed, our God, as you have told us in your words, and perhaps we have neglected, we would not neglect it now to beseech thee with supplication, prayer, intercession, with thanksgiving for all men, for the kings and all that are in high place, that we may lead a tranquil and peaceable life in all godliness and gravity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. Our Father, then this quiet and tranquil life is good and acceptable in your sight. And if it be possible, unless you would culminate and terminate your plans for this world, we pray, our God, that we shall be brought to our senses as the men of Nineveh were brought to their senses, and they repented. You are able to do this, our God, and so we pray for those in authority and the crisis that lies before us. And this night, we desire to be fed. Your Son would have us fed. So, our God, do that for these thy people. You know our sins. We confess them. Be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, as thou hast promised, and prepare a heart that a good seed of the word of God may fall therein and produce fruit. And let the word of God not be spoken in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance. Bless us this night, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. You would not think of the Pentateuch and the book of Deuteronomy as a book of love, but it is a book of love. And what I have done in weeks past is to consider this subject of love in Deuteronomy, God's love to us, our love to God, and then our love to one another. You see that threefold love? God's love to us, Deuteronomy is full of it. Our love to God, Deuteronomy is full of it. And our love to one another, this is what we want to consider tonight. Because it not only speaks of how much God loves us, in what a varied way God loves us, but it speaks of the requirement of our loving God. But having dealt with his love for us and our love for him, it also brings to our attention the love that we should have one for another. And that is the portion I read to you tonight. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And 10 times it speaks of God's love for us. 12 times it speaks of our love for God. And tonight we are going to consider some of the references of our love to one another. So this morning I spoke to you about love to your neighbor as it is presented in the New Testament. Tonight, the way it was presented in the Old Testament. I said this, that the first thing our Savior did in mentioning Leviticus 19:18 was to correct a misapprehension or to terminate a teaching that God had given at a previous date. Because God did do such things. There was a time when there was to be no mixing of Jew and Gentile. There was to be a time when only certain meats were eaten. But those were ended by Christ. There was a time when divorce was to be allowed, but Christ put an end to that. However, from what we've read, and the Lord Jesus put it this way, you have heard that it was said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. The Savior said, but I say unto you, love your enemy. Now, is he terminating any references to hating your enemies in the Old Testament? Or was our Savior correcting a misunderstanding and a misinterpretation that was given by the scholars of the law up to his day? Look in the same chapter at a verse, and let's see what it tells us. Verse 34, they taught, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. In verse 34, in the same chapter that says to love your neighbor, it says, the stranger that sojourneth with you shall be unto you as the homeborn among you, and thou shalt love him as thyself. In the same chapter that says, love your neighbor as yourself, it says, when a stranger and a sojourner comes, you are to love him as yourself. Because of things like this, you would believe that Christ was not terminating these references to hatred in the Old Testament, but the Lord Jesus was correcting a misunderstanding because some critical blows, some treatment that was mortal, was to be heaped upon certain of the enemies of the children of Israel, but it did not mean that all of these were to be hated in the same way. The ones that they were to exterminate, they were not to feel toward them the same way they were to feel toward others, and look upon all that were not of the children of Israel as enemies and hate them. Love your neighbor and hate your enemy, because here are some that are strangers and sojourners, and when they come among them, it says, you are to love them as yourself. So in the very same chapter that speaks about loving your neighbor, it teaches us that we are to love as ourselves the stranger and the sojourner. And when it speaks of a strange woman in the Bible, it speaks of a foreign woman. So here are those that are strangers and sojourners, and they are to be loved the way that we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. But what happened was this, that the teachers, the rabbis, sought to restrict who was to be loved. The Lord Jesus expanded who was to be loved. And what was so interesting was we were discussing this later, and as the rabbis were restricting who was to be loved, and then the Lord Jesus told the man who was his neighbor, and when we were discussing it, said, well, if this man is my neighbor, how often am I to love him? It's so interesting, the considerations that we can have of these matters, rather than saying, who is my neighbor? The Lord Jesus would have us put it this way. Who is not my neighbor? So rather than say, who is my neighbor? And unless you can prove that you are my neighbor, hate these people. Then say, who is not my neighbor? And unless you can conclusively prove that he is not your neighbor, then love that man as well. And the Savior said, and I did not bring these things to your attention. He explained about the law, and he said concerning it this, as you would that men should do unto you, it says, then you do unto men also. We put it this way, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But the Savior is saying that loving your neighbor as yourself is, as you would have men to do unto you, do you also unto them. He says, this is the law and the prophets. And if you love your neighbor as yourself, then as you would have your neighbor to do unto you, you would have also to be done unto your neighbor. The Savior says, this is the law and the prophets. What our Savior has done, and I thank God for those that are able to look through the entire teaching of a section and sum it up in one concept, and that is this, love your neighbor as yourself. Concerning God, it says, love him completely, love him unreservedly. Love God with all your being. And you would think, well, am I not to love my neighbor as myself? It puts it this way. Am I not to love my neighbor the same way? No, you are to love your neighbor as yourself. And here is what I'm thinking. If you said, I am to love my neighbor with all my being, you might not understand what that meant. But if you say, I am to love my neighbor as myself, I think you would understand very easily what it meant. Just think of yourself. And how many of us have difficulty thinking of self? Most of us are quite proficient at that. Just think exactly how you would want something, and that is the way perhaps someone else would want something, except for this. And I've seen it. I was taken out to a meal at a Tupperware dinner, and this man was preparing the meal, and he mixed up this beautiful tossed salad. And then he said, and now I'm putting this dressing on it. And he destroyed the salad as far as I was concerned. He thought he was loving his neighbor as himself. But if he were, he would say, now, here is the salad. What kind of dressing do you want on it? And so at times you think that you're loving your neighbor as yourself, but in reality you're not. There are many things that are involved in that. But if you think it through, love your neighbor as yourself, then you will behave toward that person the way that you should. And the Savior says, this is the law. Everything that the law commands is fulfilled if you love your neighbor as yourself. Let me ask you this concerning yourself. Do you want anybody to commit adultery with your wife? You say no. Then love your neighbor as yourself. Do you want anybody to steal from you? You say no. Then love your neighbor as yourself. Do you want anybody to kill you? You say no. Then love your neighbor as yourself. This is what God is saying. Just think it through and love your neighbor as yourself. And everything that you would not do to your neighbor, it is found enumerated in the law. And what is so remarkable is that the same thing the law says, and it enumerates one by one. I shan't take you to all these references, but it speaks about your neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Thou shalt not commit adultery with thy neighbor's wife. Here are the laws, and it says, you shall not do these things. And this is what Paul says in Romans chapter 13. He says, owe no man anything save to love one another, for he that loveth his neighbor hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other law, it is summed up in this word, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love, therefore, is the fulfilling of the law. And what the Savior had given in a word, Paul reviews it and gives it again in a word, and then he makes us think it through. That's right. If I loved him as myself, I would not do these things that the law forbids. So if you do not know everything that the law commands, then know everything that you would not want any friend to do to you. And you will obey the law, because the only thing that the law forbids you to do are those things that would be injurious and harmful, and those things that you would not want to occur in your life. And so you say, you mean that I can think of every law, think of everything that the Bible forbids, and if you love your neighbor as yourself, you will not do those things to your neighbor. Or positively, you will do for your neighbor those things that the Bible tells you to do. So you do not have to remember the 10,000 things that are in God's law. But as the Savior says, he said, this is the law and the prophets. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Love your neighbor as yourself. He says, this is the law and the prophets. And he says, on these two commandments hang the law and the prophets. That is why I thrill when all these involved precepts are summed up in one concept, and the Lord lays it before us. I found this out, and this is why it is so beneficial. If I asked you to tell me all the mysteries that are mentioned in the New Testament, could you tell me? And if you could tell me, are you able to tell me the one mystery out of which all the other mysteries flow? You say no. Well, I was studying and studying and studying, and I suddenly understood why this is the one mystery out of which all the other mysteries flow. And here is the Apostle Paul, and the Savior had discovered it before him and taught it. And Paul, being guided into all the truth, took up the same doctrine, and he expounded it as well. So, the fulfillment of the law is loving your neighbor as yourself. But you and I know that it's something that's almost impossible to do. I can love myself, that's easy. But to love my neighbor as myself, that is so difficult. And I told you that some people are deceived into thinking they've done it, but they haven't. Because when the Savior asked that young man of what he should do, since he told him he had already loved his neighbor as himself, he told him what to do. It says he went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. And the Lord Jesus said, go sell your possessions and give them to the poor. And that lawyer that came and said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he said, you tell me. And he said, well, the law says that you are to love God with all your being and your neighbor as yourself. And the Savior said, that is correct. You do this, and you shall live. And the man said, who is my neighbor? Why? Because he knew that he had failed, and he wanted to justify himself. So we understand these things, what God wants us to do, but that we have failed to do them, but still they are before us. Just because we have failed to do them, it does not mean that we are not to try to do them better than we have in the past. Just because we are not able to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect, are we to not try to be improving ourselves at all? You say no. Our goal is perfection. We shall never reach that goal in this life, but our goal is perfection. And that is what the Lord tells us. Therefore, let us love our neighbor as ourselves. You might ask this. Well, I find it so difficult to love my neighbor, much more difficult to love my enemies. Who can have that feeling of love, that emotion in the heart of love toward one's neighbor? Nobody can, unless it comes of God. This elusive emotion of feeling love in your heart for another. And it's a wonderful feeling when it's there. But it so infrequently is found in us. Still, the Bible tells us we are to love, and we are able to love with the assistance of God, but without the assistance of God, you'll never be able to love with the feeling of love in your heart. But I want you to see this, because this is essential. I tell you, as the Savior said, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God? And the disciples said, "Who then can be saved?" The Savior said, "With man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible." And so I'm telling you that you can love me and your enemies. You can do it and have that feeling in your heart. You say, "How?" Well, I'll show you. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. And this is the only way that you are ever going to attain it. And I'm going to show you this reference and others as well, perhaps. But in Deuteronomy, look at verse 5. "And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it, and he will do thee good, and multiply thee above thy fathers, and the Lord thy God will circumcise thy heart, and the heart of thy seed, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live." That is the way it can be accomplished. And God said in the coming day, he's going to do it. It is God himself circumcising your heart. And when he does that, then you will have that feeling in your heart, and you will be enabled to do the things that God requires. Now, turn to Zechariah, the next to the last book in the Old Testament, Zechariah chapter 12. Zechariah 12. And look at verse 10. God says, "And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. And they shall look unto me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him." Get the nation of Israel to mourn and confess Jesus Christ as Savior. It's impossible. But God says, in the coming day, I'm going to pour out upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and of supplication, and they shall mourn. And their confession now is, when we see him, there is no beauty in him that we should desire him. But the additional thought is this: but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. When does that happen? When God pours out upon the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem this spirit of grace and of supplication, and then their eyes will be opened and they will understand concerning the Savior. You love me, I love you. Yes, when God circumcises my heart. The Jews accept Christ as Messiah. Yes, when God pours out a spirit of grace and supplication upon them. And also turn to 2 Corinthians 8. 2 Corinthians 8, because I want to give you hope in a situation that is apparently hopeless in the age in which we live, unless we go about it this way. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 16 says, "But thanks be unto God, who putteth the same earnest care for you into the heart of Titus." Now, why was Titus concerned? Why was he caring for this church at Corinth? It says, because God put that earnest care in his heart. Now, let me ask you the question. Is it possible to love your neighbor as yourself, to love your enemy as well? You say, why, if God circumcises my heart, yes, and he says he's going to do that. If God pours out a spirit of grace and supplication, God says, I'm going to do that. If God puts in my heart that same earnest care, well, it says that God has done that. So, the things that God requires of us that are impossible with men, it says that with God all things are possible, and in the coming day, and that day could be now, he could circumcise our hearts, pour out that spirit of grace and supplication upon us, and also put an earnest care in my heart for you. And if I have that earnest care in my heart for you, then I'm loving you as I love myself. So when is the day coming when I shall be able to feel that love that God would have me to feel? I don't know when that's coming. But until it does, without that feeling, I am to behave as if I loved you as myself. That is what you must do. You must strive to have
that feeling.
God, bring it about in you and in me. But even though it's not there, you still do it. I'm thinking of this. At that first Lord's Supper, preceded by the Passover, the Savior said, with desire have I desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Well, suppose each morning I do not have that intense desire that our Savior had to come and remember him. I stay home. You don't do that. You come whether you have that desire, and you confess your sin for your heart being so empty and for your basket containing so little fruit or no fruit at all when you come. But you come just the same. And you behave as loving your neighbor as yourself, and you discipline yourself. And these are some scriptures I'm going to show you where you control your emotions. You say, there's nothing I can do. You can. So turn to Deuteronomy 15. I want you to see this. Deuteronomy chapter 15. It says in verse 7, if there be with thee a poor man, one of thy brethren, within any of thy gates in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thy heart, nor shut thy hand from thy poor brother. Then you can keep from hardening your heart. God says, you shall not harden your heart. Now, look over here at verse 12. If thy brother, a Hebrew man, or a Hebrew woman, be sold unto thee and serve thee 6 years, then in the seventh year thou shalt let him go free from thee. And when thou lettest him go free from thee, thou shalt not let him go empty. Thou shalt furnish him liberally out of thy flock and out of thy threshing floor and out of thy winepress, as the Lord thy God hath blessed thee. Thou shalt give unto him, and thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. Therefore I command thee this day, verse 16, and it shall be, if he say unto thee, I will not go out, and so forth and so on, you will discover that when you send him forth, and you may read in Exodus as well, it says, it shall not seem hard unto thee. What shall not seem hard unto thee? To let him go. I got such good work out of this man. God says, it's time for him to go. It shall not seem hard to thee. Well, if he goes, I have to give him some of my flock, the field, the vine, the grapes. Yes, you have to supply him liberally when you do that, and it shall not seem hard unto you. What is the natural thing? To keep him there as a slave, and not to give him anything. But God says, you shall not let it seem hard unto you. And therefore, I am to discipline myself and say, I shall not let it seem hard unto me. And I shall not harden my heart against my brother. And if we do this and cry unto God, as the man cried when the Lord Jesus said, if thou canst believe, and the man said, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. So if it's hard for you to give, and some people have tight hands, it's hard for them to give. Give anyway and say, oh God, let me be like Zacchaeus when you went to his house that day. And let me be like that widow who gave her 2 mites. Oh God, let me be that way. And this is what God wants us to do. But whether we feel it or not, he wants us to do it. But not just do it without feeling, but do it and cry unto God that the feeling shall accompany the doing, but we are to do it as well. Now, loving your neighbor as yourself. I mentioned some things in the New Testament, but now I want you to see some things in the Old Testament about loving your neighbor and your enemy as well. So turn to Exodus chapter 23. Exodus 23. Verse 4. It says, if you meet your enemy's ox or his ass going astray, thou shalt surely bring it back to him again. If thou see the ass of him that hateth thee lying under his burden, thou shalt forbear to leave him. Thou shalt surely release it with him. Now just think, here is a man that you hate, and you see that something has happened to his beast of burden, his ox or is asked, what do? You laugh and you say, it serves him right. It couldn't have happened to a better person. God says, you are not to do that. God demands that if you see that ox go astray, you take that ox and take it back to the enemy that you have. And if you see that ox borne down with his burden, then you release that beast of burden from his burden, even though he is your enemy. God says, you must do that. Now, turn to Deuteronomy 22. Here is something similar, but to show you it's reiterated in Deuteronomy chapter 22. Deuteronomy chapter 22. And look at verse 1. Thou shalt not see thy brother's ox or his ass go astray, and hide thyself from them. Thou shalt surely bring them again unto thy brother. Do you remember this morning in the parable of the Good Samaritan? The priest saw this man that was in need. He disregarded it. Notice what it says here. You see your brother's ox or his sheep. Now it's not an enemy, but it's your brother's. But it's so inconvenient to do anything for you to help me. It says, if you see him go astray, you shall not hide yourself from them. It doesn't mean, as I've heard others, when they witness an accident and they should step forward and say who was guilty and who was innocent, don't you ever confess that you saw an accident. Keep your mouth shut. God forbid that. You have to come forth and you have to tell the truth. And in like manner, if there is something like an ox or an ass that is lost, it says, you shall not hide yourself from them. Verse 2. And if thy brother be not nigh unto thee, or if thou know him not, then thou shalt bring it home to thy house, and it shall be with thee until thy brother seek after it, and thou shalt restore it to him. You see all the inconvenience that God is placing upon us. It's so much easier to see that animal and then just to turn your back, to hide yourself and let it go. But God says, that is not my way. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And if you love your neighbor as yourself, suppose your prize ox or cattle had gone astray. Would you want somebody that knew where it was to close his eyes and not tell you about it? You say, of course not. It's my life. I have to have that animal. But there are some people who would say, it's inconvenient. Just like that man who, when his friend was knocking on the door, friend, lend me 3 loaves. He said, trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. The Lord Jesus said, though he will not rise and give him. And so, I am to do, because I love you, the things that are involving my time and inconvenience, and they're not pleasant, but God says those things are to be done. Now, why God tells us to love him and to love our neighbor as ourselves? The things that we have to do in life, the responsibilities, are so much easier to do if our heart is circumcised and if there is that genuine love, because there is such a thing as love in the world. Love of a man or a woman, and love of a friend of a friend, and love of a slave for his master. Understand that. You say, is such a thing possible? Yes. And so turn to Genesis 29, because this is so beautiful, and this is why I'm telling you and encouraging myself to seek to love, because there's some things I must do. And this is what happens if there is love in my heart. It says at verse 18, Genesis 29:18, and Jacob loved Rachel, and he said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. Suppose you were indentured for 7 years as a slave. You say, how hard, how laborious. It said 7 years seemed unto him but a few days. Why? Because of his love.
in his heart.
And it's the same way with your coming out to the meetings. What a weariness it is. But if you love the Lord, if you love the people of God, there will be no inconvenience at all. Do you understand? So turn to Exodus 21 now. Exodus 21. Here is the love of a man for a woman. And this love makes laborious tasks. But a few days. Verse 2. 21:2, Exodus 21:2. If thou buy a Hebrew servant, 6 years shall he serve thee, and then, when the seventh year comes, he can go free. Look down at verse 5. But if the servant plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. I told you there is such a thing as the love of a slave for his master. You say, well, I can understand the love of a man for a woman, but the love of a slave, and he's willing to continue as a slave forever? Yes, the Bible teaches such things. And I shan't turn you to the other, but in 2 Samuel 1, David is contemplating Jonathan, and he says, Jonathan, he says, thy love to me was wonderful, surpassing the love of women. And if God would give us some friends like Jonathan and David, and if God would give us the heart of this Hebrew servant in Exodus 21, and if husbands could love their wives as Jacob loved Rachel, how easy life would be. Love thy neighbor as thyself. This is the law and the prophets. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for the things that you ask us to do. Thou dost know that there are some things in life that must be done. And we're thankful that you tell us what is the true motive and will not only make these things be done, but will make them so easy and enjoyable in the doing. Our God, we marvel at this, and we see about a man loving a woman, and yet there is so much divorce and hatred of husband and wife today, and there is so much hatred of those that work for their masters. And our God, there is so much hatred among friends, friendships being broken off. Our God, we pray that it shall not be so in our lives. But help us who do serve to love those who are over us, and husbands to love our wives, and also for our friendships to grow closer. Help us to fulfill this commandment, to love our neighbor as ourselves. And our Father, may the day come when you circumcise our heart, and pour out that grace and supplication upon us, and put into our hearts the same earnest care that was in the heart of Titus. Answer this prayer, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.